Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found.
Oh, yeah. Started to burn too many things we found. That's the great Darwayan singing with the magnificent Pete Seeger and David Burns, the superbly brilliant author of the lyrics of the Solartopia song. This is Harvey Sluggo Wasserman back with you for another hour in Solartopia. I got to say, I'm deeply disturbed to read the reports from Puerto Rico. The disaster is still going on there. The apocalypse, the absolute abomination, dereliction of duty of the FEMA. People still without food, water, power, shelter, education, jobs. It's definitely ethnic cleansing going on in Puerto Rico. We've talked about it a few times on the show. And we're going to continue to deal with it. It's a disaster, as is the entire experience with Donald Trump. We're going to have a couple guys on with today to talk about the ongoing attempt to have fair elections, decent elections, monitorable elections in this country. We got Chris Salyer with us. Chris, you with us, buddy?
Yes, I'm here. Good to see you.
And the great John Brakey, one of the truly spectacular election activists of our time. John, you with us?
I certainly am, Sluggo. It's good to be with you again.
Well, good to be with both you guys. I'm honored. You guys are just doing such amazing work. I want to start with a discussion real quickly of this whole Russia thing. And, you know, we're getting everybody yelling back and forth about Russian involvement. And it seems to me, and you guys are really on top of this, that the Democrats, the corporate Democrats, the Democratic National Committee, and the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee, these guys are just jumping up and down and using Russian interference as an excuse to explain away the fact that Hillary Clinton won the election and walked away from the presidency. And, you know, she won the exit polls in the five key swing states. She won the popular vote by 3 million, and yet she conceded and now writes a book blaming Bernie Sanders and Jill Stein and never mentioning election theft. And now they're jumping up and down that the Russians did all this social media stuff, but they never talk about the Russians and other local forces, Paul Manafort and Kris Kobach and all these other, and Jeb Bush, of course, in 2000. And Kenneth Blackwell in 2004. They never talked about the domestic theft of the elections. They never talked about the fact that they walked away. In 2000, Al Gore walked away, having won the popular vote. In 2004, John Kerry walked away, having been seen the election stolen in Ohio. And now in 2016, we have a very interesting set of indictments from the special counsel, Bob Mueller, on X number of Russians who were apparently playing games with social media in the Kremlin. And we've also now, Bob Patrakis and I have a piece pending that links Paul Manafort to two of the guys, Jeff Averbeck and Michael Connell, who's now deceased under suspicious circumstances. Those two guys were instrumental in rigging the 2004 election in Ohio. And it's interesting to note that they worked with Paul Manafort, who was simultaneously rigging the election in Ukraine on behalf of the Kremlin. So, and of course, in the other dynamic, and we'll get into this with you guys because you are so on top of this, is the division, the bifurcation between the Russian government and the Russian mafia. I mean, I know it seems a slight distinction at this point since Putin runs both, but there is a difference between the Russian underworld and the billionaires and the Russian people, obviously. And clearly Putin, who owns Donald Trump, you know, 10 ways from Sunday, is not exactly the Russian people. So that's a discussion we're going to have. And I just want to lay that stuff out there because, you know, everybody in the left is now yapping at each other, of course, and the Democratic National Committee is, you know, shafting all these progressive candidates like they just tried to do in Texas who are running in the primaries. And I'm sure they're going to go to work on Kevin DeLeon out here in California, who won, you know, more votes at the Democratic convention here in California than Dianne Feinstein. But we know she's a mere 84 years old, and we know that the corporate Democrats are going to hold on to her tooth and nail if they can. So all these things are up in the air, and we can go through them as we go through the program. Now, you guys, no one is more on top of the mechanics of election theft and what we're looking at in 2018. And, of course, everybody is expecting deliverance from the Trump disaster in the midterm elections of 2018, but not facing the reality that it's by no means assured because so many states, including Ohio, have corrupted voting procedures. Now, you and I, John Brakey, have been talking about what's going on in Maryland, and you're going to want to talk about that. So why don't you jump in? You guys jump in wherever you want to. You want to deal with the Russian stuff?
I have to say one thing about the problem with interference. And I think at least to date, the greatest danger of manipulation of elections has not been from the outside, but rather from the inside. And whether it's manipulating election equipment or it's manipulating the process by way of who gets to vote and how the votes are counted, that all has been done not by Russians but by Americans. And I think the first thing we have to do is clean up our own act here. And, you know, maybe John and I have talked about this. Maybe if we're lucky, the Congress is looking at possibly passing laws that would beef up security. Maybe whatever is passed, if we can have some influence on that, might be able to prevent inside manipulation, which, as I say, I think is the greater threat to our election systems than the Russians. I don't think there's any doubt that the Russians, you know, sort of, you know, played around with things. It seems clear from the reports that that there was some attempt to enter into the voter files or. But I think the greater problem has been to date that the elections haven't been on the level because of what Americans are doing, not what Russians or anybody else are doing.
Well, John Brakey, you want to jump in on that? And then I'll have
I would say this is that, you know, if there was fraud that happened in the last big cycle, it happened, from what I can see, in the primary, okay? You have to remember, you know, we were the first people in the country to sue the state of Arizona claiming that the voter database was hacked, okay? And that we saw that somehow somebody was in there, all of a sudden, you know, you're a Democrat and you go to vote, you find out you're a Libertarian or games are played. Now, a lot of that was happening in Arizona because, you know, we didn't have a primary in 8 years, and people can vote in an open primary for the rest of the Democratic ticket, but not in the presidential. But clearly, people that I knew and interviewed with, there was something wrong. Was there a lot of it? I don't know how much, because we're only looking at a few samples or whatever when there's thousands of possibilities of things like that happening, and we can see that. The primary was the hype. In the general, I didn't see too much of that going on because the primary was the election. It was the year of the outsider. You know, clearly Clinton wasn't a good campaigner. Clearly, she didn't go into the Rust Belt states where she really took a beating in, okay? And if something happened, it happened in the primary, and it was the year of the outsider. Now, I think that sometimes this thing with the Russian, I think it's overplayed a little bit, okay? And because if you go back to 96 and you look at, let's say, for example, Boris Yeltsin, what did we do? Pump $1 billion in on that election? And then at the end, being typical American, we bragged about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Then we're seeing this Facebook stuff and stuff like that. What, 52% of the ads happened afterwards? You know, when it came to the DNC, you know, with the data that was leaked, Seymour Hersh came out. Okay. And he pretty much showed that with the speed of download with the other people who were expelled of, or left the, agencies, came out and said that had to be a thumb drive that did it, okay, because of the speed of download, okay? So that kind of puts the Russians like they couldn't have done that one. And then now a new report came out and saying, yes, there was 7 states that were penetrated out of 21. Well, you know, if it was Russians, I'm waiting for the phone call from the feds to call me up and say, hey, Brakey, you were the first guy in the country to file suit and make a claim that somebody broke into the database. What evidence do you have? Nobody's ever contacted. No feds have gone into the state of Arizona, you know, looking at this stuff. So basically, is it a rejection of the Democratic Party somewhat, saying that Hillary Clinton and the Clintons, people rejected the, you know, the agenda that they had of banksters and others? I mean, Trump played the card the other way, trying to be a populist somewhat, and I'm afraid that could have what really happened.
Well, you know, last week, election officials in New York admitted that they illegally purged 200,000 voters from the rolls before the New York primary, that it was done illegally. And that was one of that kind of thing. It's similar to what happened in Arizona.
Yes.
And so you had a situation where Sanders was on the rise, and he had momentum, and he would go into these states. And then mysteriously, people had their votes knocked out, as in Arizona, or in the case of New York, 200,000 people showed up and found out that they weren't even registered.
Well, that was a big deal in California also, where they played the game where you're an independent, where you're a Democrat, the whole deal.
Right. So the whole system is riddled with manipulation, whether it's hacking. You know, I don't know about that, but I know that somebody, and sometimes those somebody's are Democrats, are making it as difficult as possible for people to vote.
Right. Well, certain people, you know, a certain group of people to vote, not just everybody. So let me back up here. We want to peel the onion kind of methodically, and you two guys would know this as well as anybody. Is there any concrete evidence that Russian operatives successfully stripped our voter rolls or flipped our voting machines in 2016?
Nothing I've seen. How about you, Chris?
Well, they haven't made it public if it is. the closest thing is what you cited, John, that said that the intelligence agencies, the FBI, I'm forgetting what the source is claiming that there were 7 states in which some kind of penetration was successful. And they've cited the states, but they haven't cited the evidence.
Yeah.
And the FBI, is it Mueller?
I don't think it's Mueller that's, look, I don't think, you know, one of the ironies of all this is, in spite of all this talk of Russian hacking and so forth, I don't think there's been a single investigation into states where there were problems to see what it was that happened and how it happened. All we're getting are these kind of vague reports that this happened there and this might have happened somewhere else.
Very interesting. We're talking with John Brakey and Chris Souter, two of the leading experts on election theft, election fraud, hacking of our electoral system, trying to get to the bottom. What state? Do you know what states it appeared that they were successful in what they did?
What did it say about – I'm just going to hit Chris.
Well, there were seven states. I know one's Arizona. I haven't looked at the list lately. I can't remember what the other ones are.
And that the Russians got into our system and either hacked machines or voter lists. Is that right?
They just say it was only the voter database was penetrated. They said nothing or declared strongly about the machines.
So what does
Even
that mean? What does that mean
about anybody getting in after we founded Rhode Island?
Well, what does that mean that they penetrated the voter database? Does that mean they stripped people off the voter rolls?
Don't know, but that we think that's what it would mean. I mean, you know, it's let's face it, it's very unsecure. You know, when they run these precincts, they got them on MiFi with passwords, and if you can get into one, you can get into them all, and that's the problem.
Do you think that the Russians, and by Russians we mean basically Putin's operation, either government or mob, right? Either his underworld connections or his government connections or both.
That would be people
do you think that
on behalf
do you think that they were sophisticated enough to know who to strip from the voter rolls to promote a Trump victory?
Here are the states: Alaska, Arizona, California, Florida, Illinois, Texas, and Wisconsin. But and this is according to NBC report, citing sources within the NSA, I guess. They claim that no votes were changed and no voters were taken off the rolls. So I don't know what exactly their point is, but that's
what does it mean to penetrate? They just want to see who was registered to vote, see if they spoke Russian and were eating borscht. I mean, what's the point?
We don't know.
Have been doing trial. Whoever it was, maybe have been trying to determine whether or not they could in fact do it, and we're waiting for more specific instructions.
Okay, Chris, you tend to fade in and out, so keep the speaker close to you, if you would, please. So that's an interesting.
Well, can I add something about the voter database, okay, that people need to know? Is that when the Help America Vote Act passed in 2002, they allocated $3.8 billion. Only half of that went for voting equipment. The other half went to take these databases and have matching points. And then, you know, it used to be these databases were run by a county, okay?
Well,
and there really wasn't much of a statewide database. That changed by 2004, that states started having it was a statewide run with oversight, and that state to state they could connect to each other. Okay, by 2006, the LA Times wrote a story. It was talking about the Republicans and their system called Voter Vault. Okay, which is their get the vote out system, and it said, "Does the GOP know if you don't like anchovies?" Meaning that's 2006 information. Now we are in 2018. You got Facebook. You got Google. They tie this stuff to a commercial database. They know chances are if you go into a food store regularly and you use your phone number to get discount points, Well, they didn't even know what you're eating. It's incredible. There's three, actually, they're saying there's 3,000 points they have on every voter in this country. And now, are they using this to disenfranchise us, to trick us? I mean, we live in a country that historically, what is it always about? About stopping people from voting, okay? There are so many tools in the arsenal to really screw up our democracy that the only thing that we can really do is realize the solution must be transparency. If we're going to screw with the voter database, then we should have same-day registration. Harvey, you should be able to walk in and vote and straight out your registration. I mean, I can walk into a store before I went on this trip, and I'm in my fourth state right now, that I went in and I was going to buy some good bags to take equipment stuff with me. The guy said, we'll give you a 35% discount if you fill out the credit app. I walked out of the store 5 minutes later with a new credit card. That's a solution.
Well, okay. Right? So what we're down to here with the Russians is that they did somehow penetrate the voting rolls in seven states, but we don't know what, if anything, they did. Is that correct?
We don't know if the Russians did, but they say they did. We know that in Arizona, we know they penetrated the database because, you know, we can say that we were somewhat of a witness to a crime, that something bad happened in the voter database, and in the suit it came out that we brought in Doug Jones, who's the number one guy in the country with the University of Iowa, and he just laid out how terrible the system is and how Anonymous supposedly broke in the back door and found the same pathway to do things, and that is what we tried to present in a court of law 2 months before they even brought up the fact that these things happened.
But at this point, we don't know. We do know the Russians were in the seven states, and Wisconsin, of course, being an important swing state. And we don't know exactly what, if anything, they did. I don't know why they would hack in and just to look around. That doesn't make any sense. And then we don't have any evidence that they hacked voting machines. Is that correct?
That's right. And we know that the penetration was micro-targeted, okay, in Arizona, meaning they knew who they were after. That's because maybe they had somebody like Robert Mercer and his programs working, which were, you know, using micro-targeting on voters. And if they had the database, which, of course, they have because it's the Republican side or whatever, then they know how you're going to vote because you gave money, okay? That's a pretty good indication that you're going to vote for Bernie if you sent the $27 in.
And we also know, although we don't know that the Russians were involved, that the Democrats, now you're saying, Chris Souter, that the Democrats have admitted to stripping 200,000 people, and we know who they were, from the voter rolls in the primary in New York in 2016.
Well, the election officials have admitted that it happened. That happened sometime in the last week.
Of the election? Of the primary campaign.
The admission happened sometime in the last week. And it was before the primary election, and if some people may recall, there were voters that were up in arms because they came to the polls and they weren't allowed to vote.
And we know that happened I've seen as high as 300,000 estimated in California. And what other state did you say? Was there a message?
Well, I think it's more than that in California because they wrote over 800,000 provisionals. You know that, right?
No, I never heard that number.
Yeah, I tracked the whole state, and I'll say,
see what happened in Arizona.
You need to. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with California, but in Arizona, where I was, in New York, what happened is people showed up, and they weren't on the rolls. They were given provisional ballots, and the provisional ballots were never counted. In Arizona, there were 22,000 uncounted provisional ballots, which was way, way more than they normally have. So
yeah.
And almost all of them were connected to people who believed they were able to vote, were registered as Democrats, and they weren't allowed to vote. So...
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Okay, let's get back to California real quick, okay? Because, you know, you guys wrote a book on part of this, okay? You remember The Strip and the Flip? That was California, but add to the front of that a stack, okay? You know, election night, Clinton wins the vote by mail by 66%, okay? And then at the precinct on election day, across the state as an average, she only won by a half a percent. Now, of course, the 800,000 provisionals, they're not all Democratic ballots, okay, but probably somewhere around 500,000 were, okay? And then is election night, they count everything up, they freeze that number and say, now we're going to audit 65% of the vote to validate it, okay? The other 35% was never audited. And the unaudited part is that when they run these ballots in California, like, for example, through San Diego, which is Ray Lutz is on this suit, and he just put a great presentation online that you need to see and get him on. But, you know, he pretty much lays out the data on the stack, which is the front end, the vote by mail that was counted before the election. And then he shows the precinct, and then he shows us the other slices that are unaudited, and we don't not know. You know, she won the vote by mail by 66% on the front end, and then she loses or very close to being broke even on the back end, but it's unaudited. At those batches, if you could get in, if nobody's going to check or audit, then you have a formula that you can steal with impunity, because that's how elections are stolen. You steal where you know that you're not going to get caught. The procedure in the election is fouled and designed. And there's a big fight going in California right now, because I know when I was there in October, they were trying to pass a bill to make it legal not to audit the last 35% of the election. So if you know how to use computers and you have these automatic machines that sort votes and ballots and takes pictures, then they can move things around that they can take, oh, you're a Bernie voter. We're going to count you at the end because we're going to fraction magic you, maybe, okay? And I say maybe because we shouldn't have to wonder. We should have elections that are what? Transparent, trackable, and publicly verified. And that is what we're working for, Harvey, as you know. And that's what we're doing while I'm up here on the East Coast in Pone Springs, Maine, and there's a foot of snow outside just came down, and it's beautiful. Unfortunately, I'm in a warm place and you know, trying to find out what's going in these other blue states or purple states. And it's exciting to learn what we're learning.
Well, tell us what you're learning then. Tell us now, John Brady.
Encouragement.
And Chris Satter.
Let's talk about Maryland. With this great state.
Let's talk about Maryland and what you found out there.
They're the only state thus far that I know of that is saving the ballot images. And they've pretty much come out and said to me and Chris, you know, this is a really good system. You know, it's really good using the images for auditing and adjudication process. By the way, that's what it was designed to do. And they're saving them all. And thus far, they haven't put them online, but, you know, nobody, we found out, at least in the counties that we visited, like Montgomery, that nobody's asked for them yet because it's a well-kept secret. And so we're going to wait to file, I guess, as Chris and me were talking, is after the election, because we'll think there'll be some close elections, and we'll get with some candidates and make sure they request them and get them and use them, through discovery, because, you know, I believe that Maryland and Virginia and states like that are a candidate-centric system where the candidate has the most right. So if they open up a claim and say, hey, you know, I want to do an election challenge and look into it, I like to do a little discovery. Give me the images. And then they can determine if they have a case or not.
Well, what is the name of the company that makes the machines, the voting machines, where you can go in, you vote, you operate an electronic system of some kind, you get a ballot receipt, and there's a printed ballot that's produced, and there's an electronic trail. Is that correct?
Well, there's no receipt you're going to get, okay, because that, you know, is a no-no at this point in time, other than a little tag that says, I voted. But all the new machines, when it comes to hand-marked paper ballots, are using digital scanners. Now, not optical. Optical scanners is like when we were in school, we took the Iowa test. That was an LED coming down. And if you made a mark, it didn't reflect back. Left no evidence behind, but that was your decision. These new systems, as we say, which is just really incredibly great for what's happening, is that with digital scan voting systems, there are now two official versions of each ballot, Harvey. One is the one that you marked, and the other one is the copy that the machine used to make the vote. And you cannot destroy this thing, okay, because it's what the machine counted, and it's chain of custody. Example, if I bust you with a pound of pot, then I'm a cop. I tag it, and I bag it, right, and put a seal on it. Then I give it to Jose, and Jose gives it to somebody else. And the time it gets to court, there's only 2 ounces left, okay, and the bag is open. The case is tossed, right?
Yeah. So how do you know?
Chain of custody.
How do you know?
So they cannot destroy this stuff. And so that's what we're doing is making sure that they don't. And then working, like, for example, I spent 3 days in Virginia with people demanding action, and we're hoping to form a coalition. We're talking with candidates, the NAACP, People Demanding Action, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party in that state, and then have Chris go in and start working with the Board of Elections and saying, hey, you know, we need this done before the June 12th primary. You cannot destroy these images. And in some counties in Virginia, the Board of Election has left it up to the counties to decide if you want to keep them or destroy them. That's insanity. What's the Board of Elections' job?
Okay, but how do you know when you hit one of these machines? Who's the primary manufacturer of these machines?
Well, here's the thing.
ES&S is 60+% of the market in the United States. Election systems and software and their series of machines are called the digital scanners. DS stands for digital scanners. 200, which is the precinct machine. The 850 is your vote-by-mail counter, which has 300 ballots per minute. And then they have the handicap machine, which is the express vote, which is a
DRE. So how do you know
that marks
how do you know
the ballot when you, that goes into the optical scanner or digital scanner?
Well, how do you know when you do the work on this ballot and you hit the button that you are finished? How do you know that the scanned ballot is going to be what you want? Do you get to see the ballot that you cast?
Well, of course you do. It's a hand-marked paper ballot, but that DRE they use mostly only for handicap. In Virginia, they use it for handicap and the foreign language ballot. It prints a ballot after you make your marks, and then you hand-carry that ballot and deposit it into a digital scanner, just like a regular ballot. I prefer the hand marks.
Yeah, the touch screen, the DREs, the touch screen voting machines, are basically getting phased out, and by 2020, you're going to have over 80% of the machines are going to be these new digital machines. The voter fills out a paper ballot, so ironically, we're going back to the paper ballot after all these years, and they fill out the paper ballot, they push the paper ballot through, the digital machine takes a picture of your ballot, and that's what these digital images are that we're talking about. So, in effect, there are two sets of ballots, and what's significant about that is it provides a check against each other. They are a perfect match, and you can match them later. In other words, you can go, you can find that ballot, and it's matched to the digital image. And that way, there's no somebody messing around with the paper ballot illegally, because you can go back to its twin, in effect, and check. And so for the first time, there is a safety that's being provided by the election equipment. And as I say, the DREs, the touch screen equipment, is being phased out with the exception of use for handicapped voters, which is required under the Help America Vote Act.
So you get a paper, you go there, they give you a paper ballot, you fill it out, then you stick it in a scanner, and then the paper ballot goes where?
The paper ballot goes just like it always does. It's preserved and not to be opened unless there is a court order or reason, because this is a unique ballot because it's hand-marked, and they're afraid of election chicanery. That's what they say. It's like a catch-22. You know, you can't prove fraud unless you get at the ballots. This new system makes a picture of every one of them. They can't say that to them. That belongs to us, Harvey. Okay, it belongs to the people. Of, you know, counting, voting is a secret process. Counting is a public process, and that's what we want to get to.
You have both a batch of hand marked paper ballots, and you have an electronic record.
Yeah, as it goes into the machine, it doesn't work unless it takes a successful picture of both sides. And then it uses optical character recognition to lift your decisions, which goes into a cast vote record.
Okay? So then you get an electronic vote count, which can be done pretty quickly, obviously. And then if there's a challenge, you have a whole batch of the actual paper ballots.
Well, you know, we hope to think that if we really want to make sure that the Russians stay out or hackers stay out, when you're at a precinct and when you're done voting and when they run the results, they stick a thumb drive into the machine out of a brand new one, out of a bubble pack. You do two of them usually. And when that goes in, all that information, you have the results there, you have the ballot images there, you have the cast vote record, all of that stuff is a public record. These ballots are anonymous. Okay?
But if there's a challenge, you have the backup of all the actual hand-marked paper ballots.
That's right.
Okay, so
you have, the difference between the one that you marked and the one the machine copied is one's a copy. But they're both now official documents.
Great.
Some people are saying now that the official document to them is what the machine counted, which is the copy of the original.
Well, why is the original the official?
The hand marked.
The hand marked.
Yeah.
Why is that should be the primary official document, shouldn't it?
Well, it should be, but we see it this way. There are two now, two official documents, the one that you marked and then the picture of the one the machine counted. Now, these things, the 850, are married to each other. In a precinct, usually it's a small enough that they could match them up because each ballot is different with it, you know, because of how you fill it out and the way you did it. And so it's a beautiful system. It's a gift. You know, as the old saying goes, sometimes you can't beat the old system, but create a new one and you got something going. And this is what's happened. It's a loophole that we should be able to rush in and hopefully make elections honest.
Well, you use the term rush in. So are you
saying? Well, they haven't passed any laws except in the state of Maryland. Maybe New York has. Most of the states don't even know that these images even exist or want people to know.
What has happened in Maryland?
Maryland, they formed have a board of elections, and they sat back and they built a really good system with instructions to every county. And they tell them that they cannot destroy these things, that they have to hold them, and they're under orders. That's a good thing. In Virginia, we found the opposite. Their board of election gave no direction, and any county can do what they want. In fact, me and Chris were led to believe before last November's election that these things were being preserved, only to find out that they weren't. They destroyed them.
So that one election in Virginia where which of course turned the control of the House of Delegates or whatever it is, could have been hacked by one vote.
Yeah, yeah. And they destroyed the images the too, because we fought on that one.
Go ahead, Chris, go ahead.
They apparently destroyed the ballot images in that one county. And what could have happened if they had preserved them, or if their lawyers prior to the recount had insisted that they preserve them, they could have looked at those ballot images to make sure that the count was right. When you're hand counting has generally been a good way to conduct a recount, because you've got an opportunity to look at the ballots and so forth. But it's not 100% accurate, because you're doing a hand count. But the beauty of the ballot images is they could have gone to those ballot images and conducted a separate count. And if they didn't match, then that would have forced another hand count. But they never did that. So they ended up with, after a controversial ruling over a ballot, they ended up with a tie. We don't know whether or not, in fact, it was a tie. It could have been one or two votes either way, you know, with a hand count. There could have been a miscount on the hand count. But if they had had the ballot images, they could have compared, and they would have come up with an accurate total. Or if the hand count wasn't accurate, it would have forced another hand count. So,
which it really, Chris, you know, that's, I want to ask a question, is that my impression is that they ran the ballots through the machine again, and the only thing that they verified was the overvotes and the undervotes. That's what I thought happened.
Well, they hand count overvotes, undervotes,
yeah,
provisional ballots, and
yes,
certain absentees that don't get, for whatever reason, don't get counted by the machines.
So what is the financial cost of Maryland? I mean, is Maryland going to do the whole state with these this new level of machine where you mark a paper ballot, you put it in a slot, they have the paper ballots, and they have the ballot images? Now, is Maryland going to do the whole state like that?
Yes. The whole state is 100% ESNS, DS series, okay? And it's a top-down system. And that they have to preserve. And apparently, from the people we talked to, they said nobody's requested them yet. But basically, most people don't know about these things or how it works.
That's
wow. Teaching.
And what's the financial cost of doing this? How expensive are these machines?
To store them, you can, let's put it this way, for the whole state, you probably could go out and buy a big drive, and it would cost about $60, okay, to save them all. Now, we want them to put them online by precinct that anybody could verify, and if they wanted to, with different programs, one that we're building with some people, hopefully, that you'll be able to download a program, download the precinct, then download the app, and then you set the app on your computer, and then you go ahead and you take one image, and then you fill out your app, and then you can run it through your own computer and watch it be counted.
Yeah, but you know, I'm as somebody who's 72, I'm a little wary of the hackability of that. My gut sense would prefer.
Well, that's why you got the originals, okay?
Yeah, but
that's why they got to be protected. The ones that you filled out, those are the standard. These is another way, and these images put online should be done by the county, and it comes right off of the thumb drive. That, listen, these machines don't count the original ballot; it counts the picture. Now, the picture is supposed to be exactly the same as the original ballot.
Yeah, but you know, John, once you put any of this stuff online, you open up a can of worms. I would just say,
you know, it's one way, and if they do, we got the original ballot to settle it. But
you know, we got to have something. The solution clearly is transparency.
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to vote in favor of these electronic machines that produce a that work off a paper ballot, but I do not want them link any way, shape, or form on the Internet. I think that's a mistake. I think people,
well, how are people going to download them and tell them? Go down there to the election department and get them?
Why should, well, the Board of Elections should count them.
You know, it's a one-way pull-down, okay? You know, you secure your site, and you can take it and make a copy and pull it down. That's what you're doing.
Well, I don't know.
And if you really want to be careful, you could blockchain them.
I don't think any site is protected, frankly. I would keep these entirely off the Internet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have any Internet connection at all to any of these machines. People can mail in absentee ballots and have them scanned. That's fine. But I don't want anything to do with Internet voting. I think
it's not Internet voting. We're talking about after the election. If you want to, that means if you want to look at the results, you're going to go down to the election department and look at them, or are you going to download the results and look at it?
No, you don't have to download. They can be posted on a website. You don't have to be
downloaded. That's what we're talking about doing is after the election, the results and the images are put in line by precinct for anybody to audit, not cast a vote.
Just like they post the results, only in addition to the results, they actually also post the ballot images themselves.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay, that's worth discussing. But no Internet access before the election.
Of course. That's insanity. That's what we're fighting. And that's why we're worried about Rhode Island. And by chance, did you read the New York Times article that came out about 10 days ago? And it's titled, "The Myth of the Hacker-Proof Voting Machine." Okay, the myth.
Well,
it was a myth.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's 8,500 words. No, sorry, this one's 3,500 words. And it was published in the New York Times Magazine. And like I said, the title is "The Myth of the Hacker-Proof Voting Machine," dated February 21st. And that way, your audience, if they want to, could Google that and pull it down and have, if they're an election integrity activist, they ought to feel pretty proud. Because finally, the New York Times is saying what you're saying, Harvey, what I've been saying for years, and what Chris is saying, is that we have a system that is easily manipulative. And one of the things that they went into, which is very important to me, well, among a number of things, is that there is a problem in some of these states, okay? Rhode Island is also the DS-200. And while me and Chris were in Wisconsin, we found the same thing. We found that the counties that refused to hand count all the way through had a device built into their machine. And what it is a cellular phone modem with a SIM card. And that means is that they say that it's impossible for somebody to get into that modem and hack it. Well, I don't believe it. The New York Times and the writer of this article has specified several different scientists saying that this is insanity. This should not be allowed. That is one of the concerns that we have, that these machines are never connected to the Internet, because that's what a cellular phone modem is.
So are there any other states after Maryland now that are expressing interest in this kind of system?
Rhode Island has most of them. Right now, believe it or not, the DS-200 has been sold. We know of 35,000 precincts in this country that already have it. Right now, as we speak, in this year's election, 55% of every vote counted in the United States will be counted on these digital scanners that produce these images, which are public records.
Wow.
Okay. By 2020 election, it will be 85% plus.
Are you going to tell me now that these machines are not hackable?
No, they are hackable. Our job is to take away the power of a hacker, because hackers are chickens, and they only steal, Harvey, if they know they won't get caught. They steal with impunity. In my 14 years in this, that's what I've learned, is to study the procedures and find out the weak points. And if you look hard, you'll find that you can get this problem down to an insider and people who are good at following procedures. And some of the procedures are really bad, and that's where they steal. It's in states that they don't hand count. It's in states where they say, I know my results are really good. I ran a logic and accuracy test before and after. When I hear that, I think of Volkswagen. They built 580,000 cars in the United States, okay, they sold here. And I want you to know, when they went in for emissions, they passed every time because they built a computer to cheat. And by the way, that made Volkswagen, because of Europe, the largest car maker on the planet. And they built on this heist. And they told people that the Volkswagen diesels were green. And the reality, they were not green. They put out 40 to 80 times over the limit. Not 40%, not 80%, 40 times over the limit. That now that they can prove that in Europe, prematurely deaths equals 72,000 people per year are dying because of this smog that comes out of these diesels. And there's so many of them in Europe.
Well, our of us are dying because Trump is in office, too, and we know that election was stolen. So how do you police these machines to make sure that they're not hacked?
By taking the ballot images and put them online for anybody to come after the election. Please, let me say this. Fraction Magic, you know what that is? It is a program, an app, that if it can get in, it will change things on a precinct level. Fraction Magic can change the numbers on the fly, but it cannot, and I repeat, it cannot change a hand-marked paper ballot that is married to a ballot image. So to do this, you have to destroy the ballot images, and you have to make a law, like in Arizona, that the only way that you can get a recount is if the results are within 0.1%. And by the way, that recount will be done by machine, the same machine that could have a device built into it to cheat.
We're talking with John Brinke and Chris Sauter, two of our greatest election protection activists. We're almost near the end of the hour. Chris, can you tell people, Chris Sauter, how people can get a hold of you and see your work?
Well, the best way they can reach me is through John. John, why don't you?
You know, first off, is that Chris is the best at what he does. I'm so lucky to hook up with this guy. I just want people to know that Chris is one of the best election lawyers in the United States, and his job is the legal part of our team. And he's been doing election recounts since 1984. He's the guy who did the Al Franken recount. He was in Florida in 2000 when they made the stupid mistake and didn't listen to him, okay? And it's an honor for me to work with a lawyer of this caliber, because realistically, to win will take a good team of people with good strategies and laws. My site, the best way you can find us, is www.auditelectionswithanSUSA.org. That's our new site. And my email is John Brakey, and the break with a Y, Brakey, at gmail.com. And I always invite people to join our efforts, because we are building a team and a coalition. I'm traveling around this country. I'm in Maine right now. I was in Rhode Island 2 days ago. I was with Chris in Maryland, and Chris and me also did Virginia. And then I had some long meetings in Virginia with different groups, trying to form a coalition to get candidates to make the challenge. And we're also working on having a contract with the voter from the candidates that they will demand elections that are transparent, trackable, and publicly verified. If you want to stop the Russians, if you're worried about that, we got a solution. Transparency. Turn the lights on, watch the cockroaches run.
I like that. That's good. So what states do you think are going to come next? You're 100% happy with Maryland. What other states can you predict will be ready to go by the 2018 election?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, we're traveling, and what we're building on each state is what we call a track condition report. And the way we call it track condition is that we look at the candidates as the ponies, and they're going to run down this track. Now, what kind of a condition are they going to run in, and how can we make sure that if you're Republican or Democrat, that you have an honest vote? We're nonpartisans, okay? And the people who join my coalition need to be that way. And I always tell them, if you want to join my coalition, you got bitterness in your heart. Well, I tell people, you know, if you harbor bitterness, love will dock elsewhere, and you should too, okay? Because we need positive thinkers who are working for democracy, not for an axe to grind or, you know, trying to figure a way to get their candidate in. Well, they need to figure getting that candidate because he actually won.
Fantastic. What, you know, you guys are great.
We're not really sure what states yet are going to be in compliance by the fall election, which is why we're conducting this this state-by-state review. We do know one thing that made just looking optimistically, Pennsylvania is replacing all of its equipment. You may remember that in 2016, after the election, it was impossible to conduct a recount there because they had the old DREs didn't provide a paper trail. And since that happened, they are purchasing new equipment for the whole state. It is this same equipment that we've been talking about with, that produced digital images. So it's possible that Pennsylvania could be one of those states, along with Maryland, that does it right. And I imagine there'll be, you know, we'll encounter more that we can report on before we're done.
So are you saying that we might even actually have a democracy in the United States? Is that conceivable?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah. We're going to try, although. That's what we're going to try to do.
Thank you, guys. You're great. John Brakey, Chris Satter. See you next week in Solartopia.
Thank you.
Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're going to have a Solartopia?
So we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know?